This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 47. Deuteronomy 28, 47. God is declaring to the nation of Israel all of the calamities that are to befall them because of their failure. If they would follow the Lord, if they would keep His way, then God had promised blessing upon blessing. But if you turn from God's path, if you follow another way, then you're going to experience such tragedy. These tragedies will come, God declared. Verse 47, because they did not serve the Lord their God with joy and with gladness of heart in the abundance of all of the things that He had given to them. Being chosen by God and called by God to be His special people is indeed a great blessing. What an honor. And yet with it, there comes an awesome responsibility. Because God has chosen you to be His people, God then wants to use you as the witness to the world of the joy, of the gladness of heart that come to the people who will just follow after God and serve the Lord. You are responsible to be God's people and to show forth before the world the effects of following after God in order that the world might be drawn to also submit their lives to the Lordship of Jesus. In the musical, The Fiddler on the Roof, there is that one portion where the father, after all of the calamities that come, looks up and he says, God, could you not have chosen someone else? It is true that to be chosen by God does open the door to all kinds of blessings, but to fail in that responsibility does indeed bring calamity and tragedy unto a person's life. We have all been called to serve God. You see, everybody serves somebody. No man is totally independent of outside influences that control his life. We, each of us, are yielding to outside forces and outside influences that determine our lives, our choices, our standards, are all being framed and formed by outside influences. No man is totally independent of these, nor can he live independent of these. Everybody serves somebody. We all live by some ideal or philosophy or concept or master passion that really determines what decisions we are going to make, how we are going to live. Everybody serves somebody. Now, Jesus said that there are really two basic masters. And He said you can't serve them both. For no man can serve two masters. He'll love one and hate the other, or hang on to the one and despise the other. He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon being the world. You can't serve God and the world. You're going to be at home with God or at home with the world, but you can't be at home in both places. You cannot serve God and Mammon. They are mutually exclusive. There are two powers, therefore, that are vying for the mastery of your life. Satan is seeking to control your life. He uses the tools of the fallen world around you and the lust of your own flesh. And he seeks to draw you under his control and under his power. As you yield to the fads, the fashions of the world around you, as you sort of flow with the things that are happening and transpiring in this world in which we live. Satan uses lies and deceit. And he always promises you immediate fulfillment. He points to the path and he says, hey, you don't have to take God's path of the cross and self-denial. You can have life right now. Just turn aside from God's path. God's path is too narrow anyhow. Look, everybody's doing it. This is the broad way. Everybody is doing it. You know, take this path. You'll find excitement you're looking for. You'll find the joy you're looking for. You'll find the satisfaction. It's all over here. Don't walk God's path. Turn aside from it. And Satan lies. And he deceives. And many people have been deceived. And following after Satan have sought to find fulfillment and satisfaction in walking after the world. Satan challenges the word of God. With Eve, he said, hath God said? And then he contradicted the word of God and he said, oh, Eve, you won't die. You don't believe that, do you? How could a God of love withhold from you something that is so desirable? Truly, Eve, you can't believe that God would punish you just for partaking of that tree. Challenging the word of God. And he always comes challenging the word of God in our hearts. Hath God really said? Well, that really doesn't apply to you, does it? Oh, how could a God of love be so cruel as to withhold from you that which is so desirable? And truly it will be so good and it'll make you wise and worldly wise. And oh, the deception. He challenges the deity of Jesus Christ, making Jesus something less than what he really is. And then he is always challenging the work of the Holy Spirit. To serve Satan is to be at home in this world. You feel very comfortable in your surroundings. You've blended right in. You've become a part of the whole scene. In fact, you like to make the scene every Friday night. And you just, you know, you're just really a whole part of the whole thing that's going on. Dabbling in this, trying that. After all, you only live once. But the end result of serving Satan is death. The Bible says there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And we are told that the wages of sin is death. So if you give yourself to serve Satan, you will be paid. The end of your service, you come and you will receive for your service, death. alienation from God. On the other hand, Jehovah God is seeking the mastery over your life. And in order to entice you to surrender to Him, He sought to demonstrate to you just how much He does love you. And so He sent His only begotten Son to take your sin and to die in your place, that you might know that He loves you supremely. Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends," and then He laid down His life for you. And God has sent the Holy Spirit to reveal the love of Christ and the love of God for you. God has sent the Holy Spirit to show you your sin, to make you conscious of your sin, and to point out that there is an answer and there is help, and that answer is in Jesus Christ. And God promises to those that will serve Him the joys of His eternal kingdom. To serve God is to be an alien to the world. We are not of this world. Jesus said, "You are not of the world. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit, which is His." Also, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For he who has the love of the world in his heart has not the love of the Father." The Bible speaks of Abraham and those of the Old Testament who confessed that they were just strangers and pilgrims here. They were searching for a city which has foundation, whose maker and builder is God. I find that the closer I draw to God, the more out of step I feel with this world in which I live. All I have to do is turn on television for a few minutes and I realize, hey, I'm not of this world. Man, I'm an alien to that stuff. I can't relate to it. Two powers, two superpowers, both seeking to control your life. The interesting thing about it is that God, in seeking to control your life, always allows you your free will. He will not violate that. However, Satan has no qualms, if you surrender to him, of violating your free will and holding you as a captive. The classic example would probably be seen in the heroin addict. His will to resist has been totally destroyed, so he becomes a victim. That's a very obvious example, but it is the same no matter in what area you yield yourself to your flesh, you become a slave. It may not be as obvious as the heroin addict, but it is actually true. You become a slave to your own flesh and that area to which you have yielded in your flesh. You say, "Ah, come on, I can quit any time I want, man. I quit 20 times last year." How Satan traps. How Satan holds a person even against their will. Paul told Timothy that we might take them from the captivity of the enemy who is holding them against their wills. God will never do that to you. God will always respect your free will, your power of choice. It's a tremendous privilege serving God. A blessing, because you have a loving master who is only interested in your very best. Jesus said concerning the enemy, he's come to rob you, to kill you, and to destroy you. But he said, I came that you might have life, and that more abundantly. He's concerned about you. He desires the very best for your life. And whatever he calls you to do, he will prepare you for that emotionally, spiritually, and physically. He will not force you to go against your will. But he works within your heart, working within the will of your life. For it is he who works in us both to will and then to do of his good pleasure. But he just doesn't force me to go out and do it until it's first of all been something that he's planted in my heart. As he said, I will write my law on the fleshly tablets of their heart. So that you'll discover that he'll begin to put an intense desire in your heart for a particular area or for a particular thing. And then as you are doing it, there's such joy, there's such blessing. Oh, this is great. And then suddenly you realize, hey, this is the will of God. He has worked in you both to will and then to do of his good pleasure, so that you can always say with Jesus, I delight to do thy will, O Lord. Oh, what a joy, what a blessing to do the will of God, because he's planted right in my heart the desire. Now, since God created you for the purpose of serving him, as you serve him, you will find a tremendous sense of fulfillment, a complete satisfaction, a contentment. You begin to realize, wow, this is what life is all about. Serving the Lord, that's what it's all about. Just that satisfaction and contentment in serving him, for life takes on meaning and life takes on purpose, and you have such glorious peace because now you are fulfilling God's ultimate intention for you. It's important to serve the Lord. It's a blessing to serve the Lord, but also, as our text points out today, it's tremendously important how you serve the Lord. In the psalm that we read this morning, the psalmist encouraged us, serve the Lord with gladness. God wants his servants to be filled with joy. Over and over in the scriptures, we are told to rejoice. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say unto you, rejoice. Again, in another epistle, Paul said, rejoice evermore. Jesus said to his disciples, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And the Lord wants your service to him to be joyful service. He wants you to be happy and rejoicing in what you do for him. Now, what causes people to feel such great heaviness as they serve God? Why is it that they feel just pushed down and burdened down with pressures as they seek to serve the Lord? One of the reasons, I think, is that quite often we have allowed other people to lay burdens on us that the Lord really didn't lay on us. There are always people that would like to dump their burdens on you. And oftentimes we allow them to just dump all of their burdens on us, and then we're trying to carry everybody else's load. God didn't put that on me, but people have put it on me. They've put pressure on me. Pressure to serve the Lord here, pressure to teach a Sunday school class. I hate kids, you know, And so you feel this horrible pressure of teaching. Incidentally, we need nursery workers desperately. If you want to volunteer, and if you love kids, and if you would find it a tremendous joy, I personally would like to volunteer. I love kids, and it would be the greatest joy on Sunday morning to just have a dozen kids crawling over me and slobbering and screaming and whatever they do, you know, just they're neat. I love it. But you see, God will prepare your heart for it. It'll be a joy. It'll be a blessing if you're doing what God wants you to do. If you're doing what man is pushing you to do, it can be heavy. It can be intolerable. You find the burden gets heavier than you can bear. You begin to be angry. You get upset because God didn't put it on you. You've taken it on yourself. When God calls you to a task, He prepares your heart so thoroughly for that task that it's a joy, it's a delight, it's a blessing. Be careful of what other people lay on you, that you don't get burdened down. We often take upon ourselves burdens that are really not of the Lord. God spoke to Jeremiah the prophet one day and he said, "Jeremiah, I want to tell you something. There's a phrase that they're using an awful lot today. I hear the prophets using it all the time, and I am thoroughly disgusted and sick of it. And Jeremiah, I just want to warn you, don't use this phrase. I can't stand it anymore. And if you use it, Jeremiah, I'm not going to speak to you again. I mean, it's over. This phrase that I hear," he said, "the burden of the Lord, the burden of the Lord." He said, they're all going around saying, "the burden of the Lord." And God said, "I didn't put any burden on them. So don't use that phrase." How many times I hear people say, "Oh, God's laid such a heavy burden on me, man. I don't know if I can handle this, you know. Pray for me that I can endure to the end. This heavy burden, you know." Wait a minute. Did not Jesus say, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light"? Tell me about your heavy burden. Where did it come from? I know it didn't come from Him. Because He said, "My burden is light." Another pressure comes from trying to do the work of the Lord with the wisdom and the energy of our flesh. It's a mistake that we oftentimes make because we look at a situation and we say, "Oh, we've got to do something. We've got to take some action here. We can't just let that go. Quickly, let's form a committee and determine the best way to attack this problem. Maybe we can print up posters and maybe, you know," and we're always devising and scheming, developing a program in order to do God's work. And then we get out there with the wisdom and the energy of our flesh trying to accomplish a work for God. But let me tell you something. The work of the Spirit can only be done with the power of the Spirit. And we must depend upon the wisdom of the Spirit in any endeavor that we endeavor for God. Don't just go out on your own. Don't just make up a plan. Don't just devise a scheme to address a problem. But wait upon God until you get the direction from God, the leading from God, and then let Him empower you. And you'll find when God is guiding, then there's such power and such anointing and such flowing of the thing. You don't have to push it. There are always those that are telling you, "Look, you know, this heavy burden God's put on me. You friends are going to have to come and help me lift this burden. If you don't help, you know, the whole thing's going to fall. It's going to crumble. It's all over. In 12 months, I'll be dead unless you send in your support and save my program, you know. Help us, God. Not to let man put on us some heavy burden that God hasn't put on us. Help us, God, not to try to do your work with our energy or our ability or our wisdom. It just doesn't work that way. There's a fascinating book. It's really a tragic comedy that was written several years ago entitled The Gospel Blimp. The story of a church that felt, we need to make ourselves known, the fact that we're here, to the community. How can we let the community know that we exist, that we are here? So they had a committee gathered together. How can we let the committee know? How can we let the community know we are here? So the committee finally came up with the idea that we should get a blimp and suspend it from a cable above the church. Oh, sort of like the Ford agency has done up here on the freeway, you know, the whale that smiles and you see it as you go by around Alamitos, turn off somewhere in there. And so the church decided it's a good way to let the community know that we're here. So the committee came up with this tremendous idea. But then we should print something on the blimp. Maybe the name of the church, maybe a scripture. And they had a big fight in the committee over what they should put on the blimp. Half the committee quit and left the church. But they got the blimp and they got the right words, according to those that remained on the blimp. And then there was a tremendous job keeping that blimp up in the air. One night there was a vicious storm, and the blimp was beginning to pull away from the moorings. And so they called up all the men of the church who came out, and in that rainfall were standing out there holding the cable to keep the blimp from flying away. They got severe colds. A couple got pneumonia and were incapacitated for a long time as a result of holding that blimp in position. That all the pressures even became greater until finally, the end result, there was a gigantic split of the whole church, and the church disintegrated because they were trying to keep this gospel blimp afloat above the church. Typical of our energies in our own flesh and what they can produce within the body of Christ. Burdens that we put upon ourselves. Heavy burdens. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. He said, "You guys are lousy. You put on men burdens that you wouldn't take your finger to try and lift yourself. You wouldn't put a finger to it, but you don't mind laying it on other people." And I found that's true. There are people who don't mind laying some heavy burden on you. They won't lift a finger themselves, but they don't mind dumping the burden on you. Serving the Lord should be joyful. The psalmist said, "Serve the Lord with gladness." And if you're doing what God wants you to do, if you're bearing the burden that God has placed upon you, you don't find it intolerable. You don't find it heavy. You don't find it unbearable. But you find that there's a joy, there's a blessing, there's a thrill, there's a glory. Because this is what God desires. In the text, we are told that calamities were going to come upon the nation because they did not serve the Lord their God with joy and gladness of heart. Service to God should always be with a joyful heart, with gladness of heart. God wants us to give our lives to Him joyfully. He wants to give us to give our service to Him joyfully. Anything that I give to God, I should give cheerfully. And if I can't give it cheerfully, I am much better off not to give it. You see, if you give it and gripe, that goes then against you. If you don't give it, no problem. God doesn't request or require that you give. Better not to give than to give and grudge. Give and gripe. You remember when Ananias and Sapphira sold their property, brought the price and laid it at Peter's feet? Deciding to secretly keep back apart from themselves. Now Peter said, "Look, as long as you own the property, wasn't it yours? No one asked you to sell it. And when you sold it, no one required that you bring the funds in. It was your own while you had it. Your mistake was that when you brought it in, you made a pretense of bringing everything while in reality holding back something. And because of that, God is going to judge you. Now, what is yours, and God doesn't require that you give it to him. But if you desire or want to give something to God, then when you give it cheerfully. Never out of pressure, never out of constraint, never begrudging, because that is really going against you and against your account. What you give to God, give cheerfully from your heart. And what you can give cheerfully, go ahead and give. But the rest, keep for yourself. Don't give and gripe. That's dishonoring to God and completely displeasing to God. Just serving the Lord is a blessing, but that isn't enough. If I am to serve the Lord, I must serve him with joy and gladness of heart. That is the kind of service God will receive. That is the kind of service God will bless. That is the kind of service that God will reward. That which is done with a joyful heart, just thanking God for the privilege of being able to serve him. I can testify to you this morning that serving the Lord is the greatest joy of my life. I have no greater joy than to realize that God has used me to accomplish his purpose in someone else's life. Encourage them, strengthen them, guided them, helped them. God used me as his instrument. What a joy, what a thrill, what a blessing. God was upset with the children of Israel because they did not serve God with that joy. And yet God had given them such an abundance. And God has given me such an abundance. An abundance of good things. I look at my life and I see what God has given and blessed me with. The abundance that I have. 13 grandchildren. Talk about an abundance of blessings. I mean, my quiver is full. My cup runneth over. God is so good. I see one of my grandsons waving. All right, Grandpa, you know. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. And what a thrill. What a joy to serve God. Sometimes people say, man, I don't know how in the world you do all that you do. And I just sort of chuckle with them because I don't think I do anything. I think I have a blast. You know, it's just joy. It's a life of joy. Continual joy and blessing because of God and his goodness to me. Serving God. The most joyous thing a man could ever do. And that's the way God wants you to serve him. With joy and gladness of heart. Remember, you've got to serve somebody. You are serving somebody. Either your life is being directed by Satan, who is orchestrating the world around you into which flow you have been channeled, or your life is being directed by God in his will, in his plan, in his service. But if God has directed your life in his service, make sure that you're serving him with joy and gladness of heart. So we pray. Lord, we're so grateful for the privilege of being your servants. We thank you that you have called us and chosen us, that we should be your disciples and that we should bring forth fruit. Lord, today, may we indeed discover the joy of serving you, the fulfillment, the contentment, that deep satisfaction. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, as you go out to serve the Lord this way, aliens in this world, but may your light so shine before men that when they see your good works, they will glorify your Father, which is in heaven. May he use you to shine in this dark place. May he use you as salt to preserve this decaying world around us. And may the hand of God be upon your life and the anointing of the Spirit. And may you begin to see that work of God and the goodness of God until your heart overflows with joy. The joy that is unspeakable, indescribable, and full of glory as you serve him and give yourself unto his service. God bless you, and may he use you in a special way. May you experience that flush and that joy of God used me. In Jesus' name.